Welcome to the Calvary St. George's Sermon Podcast, proclaiming the historic faith of Christ and Him crucified. These podcasts are recorded and produced by the Parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. For more information, head to calvarystgeorges.org.
Well, the Protestant Reformation, the 499th anniversary of which is tomorrow, is usually described as a breakthrough in the understanding of God and man, or the human being and divinity in their relationship, as follows. Luther had a breakthrough in which he was given to understand that the weight and value of a human being does not consist of the works of the law, i.e., the things you do, or the things that you are intrinsically, but your value and weight as a human being are entirely gift. They are entirely a gift from God by which His love for you is unassailable, unconditional, and exists personally for you, irrespective of how well you do, pro or con. Now, that's the traditional sense or expression of the breakthrough that this remarkably psychologically astute genius received in Erfurt in 1516. Now, I'd like to talk about the Reformation a little bit more in an idiom that at least makes a little more sense to me personally. And I'd like to say that the title of this sermon is Long Distance Runaround. Now, Long Distance Runaround is a song by Yes that was number four in this country in 1971. And in the song, you know, Yes, I mean, come on, I'll be your roundabout, you know. They were the biggest thing until The Who came back. And Yes, we're all rather religious English art school students. And John Anderson, who wrote the song Long Distance Runaround, which you can YouTube in 2 seconds, said that he wrote the song having spent his adolescent and childhood years in a Church of England Sunday school. He said, I came to believe that the church was giving me a long distance runaround. And what the song is about, it's my sentiment, this is a direct quote, towards wanting to see a real, compassionate, non-threatening example of godliness. Well, what the Reformation was about is exactly why you and I are here today, and why we go through our daily lives distracted with an enormous enigma. Is there such an entity as a non-judgmental, compassionate one? Does it exist? And the breakthrough of the Reformation is Luther's answering that question in the affirmative. Now, let me talk a little bit about this. Zacchaeus is a man who's in severe trouble. He's highly conflicted in the story in Luke about his profession, about his conscience, about money, and about his being a short person. He's highly conflicted about everything from his appearance to the way he makes his living. And he's desperate to have a relationship that is not based upon being dissed, but a relationship based on compassion, sympathy, and understanding. And so he climbs a tree because he has heard that this man might be the vehicle for a non-judgmental, compassionate connection. Now, this is what he does, and then Jesus offers it to him. Now, let me say something very specific. The Reformation answered the question as follows. How can I have union with God through complete acceptance or full acceptance. What I need, Paul Zoll needs, union with God, with love, that is only achieved by means of full acceptance. Now, there's a brilliant sort of odd Jungian analyst in Boston who's now an old man, but he wrote devastatingly not so long ago that the fundamental need of the soul in any relationship is union with another person. The fundamental need of the soul in any relationship is union with another person. Well, think about yourself. I mean, remember, the best way to understand God is to think about your love life. It's always the best way. Always go back to your love life, whether it's in ruins, whether it never even got started, or whether it's just a question that haunts every minute you're with her or him. What the human being needs, which creates such momentum of compulsion on the part of Zacchaeus, is he is desperate to have union with another person, and ultimately God, that can only be achieved by full acceptance. That's the Reformation breakthrough. The long-distance runaround is completely nullified if I can get union with another person in my deepest part. That is only achievable through full acceptance. I don't know if you're with me, but that's the thing I want you to take away, that the heart of what you are looking for in life, whether you're 90 or whether you're 9 months, is union with somebody that is achieved through full acceptance. Now, let me give you just a couple of examples. There is a little gem of a movie called Lifeguard that was made in 1975. Some of you have seen it, but not many, because it was never released on DVD forever. But it's now on iTunes, and it is a masterpiece. It's one of these little small movies that you want to keep in your pocket. It's not Jean Renoir, and it's not John Ford, but it is a brilliant evocation of a man whose entire life is completely driven by the desire to have union with another person in the vehicle of full acceptance. And it's a 70s film. It's full of a kind of ersatz physicality. It's very easy come, easy go. And it's so West Coast as to be utterly alienating. However, it's about a young guy of 31 who's been a lifeguard since he was 15. And he's 31. And everybody is telling him, how can you be a lifeguard when you're 31? And he basically says, well, I'm actually going to become a Porsche salesman. So he lies to everybody that he's really going to become a Porsche salesman. But he doesn't want to become a Porsche salesman. He's 31 and he's a lifeguard. And every high school reunion he goes to, every time he sees a friend, his dad, his mom, they're saying, when are you going to do something with your life? And finally, he meets a woman that he really likes, who's extremely come hither and is sort of everybody's fantasy of what you think he might like. And she says, well, after their second intimate date, she looks at him across the horizontality of the scene, and she looks at him and she says, well, now, when are you going to really grow up? And immediately, the relationship is over. It is over. Because in her very normal and understandable desire to get married or hooked up with a man who has a future, she has implied that she doesn't accept him as he is. And the poor guy, he gets it from his girlfriend, he gets it from his mother, he gets it from his father, he gets it from all his friends, he gets it from his fellow lifeguards. And the power of the movie is, finally, through this little tiny drama in Torrance Beach, California, he decides to stay a lifeguard. Because it's what he wants to do. You might say he has to receive acceptance from the God within, so to speak. Because he knows that what he wants to do has to be what he ought to do. and everybody else doesn't get it. Now, let me tell you the cost of a person being lectured. If you are being constantly told something by somebody you love that you shouldn't be the person that you are, it will kill your relationship, if not cause you to take long 30-minute sabbaticals. The whole purpose of living, this is the whole purpose of living, is union with another person, and I include God there, by means of full acceptance. Now, just think about yourself. I mean, how much do you actually say to the people that you love about what you're really thinking? How much? Oh, I'm going to say offhand 3%. Now, you all said 3%? What are you? I just told her the other night about my desire to do such and such. Well, actually, it's very funny. If you analyze how much you actually say, even to the people that you trust and love, about your real feelings about life, it's amazing how much you can leave out. Let me say this. Human interchanges basically have 6 levels. And I didn't get this from anybody else. I'm just making this up. 6 levels. First, how you doing, Paul? Oh, the weather's not so good today. I hope it gets warmer in New York. How you doing, Paul? Busy. You know, how you doing? Well, the subway's really crowded and the E train was delayed. That's level 1. Usually you use those words to absolutely put an end to any real discussion whatsoever. You don't look very good, Paul. I'm fine, I'm fine. Number two level is you may say, well, actually, I have a job appointment downtown, a job interview, and I'm a little concerned about it, and I'm a little nervous about it. Or I got an email last night from so-and-so that sort of upset me, and, you know, Huma sent me this thing, and I mean, I got this email, and I'm a little bit worried about something that I did, and I'm sort of, it's weighing on me. That's sort of level 2. Level 3 is, I am absolutely petrified by the fact that I'm going to have to do something really difficult tomorrow. Or my mother has plans for Thanksgiving that are completely in conflict with my own desires, and I don't know what to do. That's sort of level 4. But you know what? There's more to it. You know what you're really thinking? Now you're going to say, Paul, no, I'm not. I'm not, Paul, I'm not. Don't get there, no. You know what you're really thinking? I want to commit suicide. Frequently, when I'm on the train platform in Connecticut, where I come into the city here to St. George's, frequently the thought, now you'll say, how can that possibly be? Frequently the thought occurs, wouldn't it be easy to throw myself off? And, you know, have you noticed that they're no longer sharp metal? They're kind of, the things they go on are kind of look like tires. So I could get cut in two, but by tires. And maybe that wouldn't be as bad as being sheared in two by metal scythes. To be honest with you, I'm really thinking about changing my whole life. You know, you say, I've been married for 20 years and I'm very happy with so-and-so. But to tell you the honest truth, I'm thinking about leaving and going to Bora Bora. And you know what the funny thing is? You laugh. But any number of you have had those thoughts this week. I said to somebody the other day, I was putting away cutlery in our dishwasher, and there was a friend of ours from where we live helping me, and I had this overwhelming thought to take one of the pieces of cutlery and stab him to death. Well, I mean, of course, I thought, I'm telling you, I didn't tell him, and then I said to somebody else later, you know, I had this overwhelming desire to take a piece of cutlery and stab my friend, and she said, she's such a brick, she said, oh, I have that thought all the time. Well, all I'm trying to say, do you see there's 6, that's 5 levels. But there's even one more. What is God doing in your life? Because ultimately, it's all in the hands of some inscrutable, powerful, and ultimately compassionate thing that he is trying to do in our lives. So I've listed 6 levels. And you'd be lucky today if you get to 2. If you get to 3, you're a happy camper. And if you get your 4, you'll be married to forever. And by the way, watch out who you tell 4 to, because it might not be your wife. And then you'll be married to that person. Because people run like a heat-seeking missile to listening to level 4, let alone 5. Now, I'm going to bring this out with one final thing. Do you know who Aline Bernstein was? Well, Nicole Kidman is about to play her in the movies. Aline Bernstein lived in New York, and she was the much older lover of the North Carolina New York novelist Thomas Wolfe. She was like 17 years older than Thomas Wolfe, who died at age 36, I think, in New York. And Aline Bernstein was his sort of everything, his guru, his lover, his everything. But she was married to Mr. Bernstein. And after he died in 1937, Aline Bernstein wrote the following words in her diary. She said in 1937, "Not a soul knows what is in my mind and heart." Aline Bernstein, in her 50s, wrote, "Not a soul knows what is in my mind and heart." Well, the purpose of this little sermon is to precipitate a reformation in your heart by which you might engage with the possibility of discovering union with another person by means of telling them the whole enchilada. The whole thing. You're not going to do it, but it might happen in 3 weeks. And at that point, you'll marry him or her. It's the dating bar with light years. Because whenever people actually do it, it's unbelievably powerful. And this is what Jesus Christ himself communicated. He brought to this difficult, powerfully hobbled man, Zacchaeus, a kind of total ability to hear him out at the deepest level. And such a thing was so unique in the mind of that, in history of that challenging, difficult man, that he said, okay, I'm giving it all away. I'm giving it all away. And that's what happens when a mini reformation happens, because you actually give yourself away, and that's when love actually happens forever. And I'll close by saying this. If you don't have a mini reformation in life, you are in for an October surprise. Now, let me just say what I mean by that. If you don't have a mini reformation of union with another person on the basis of a complete acceptance of them and you, you will have an October surprise. Now, an October surprise is something that happens late in the game of some process that disturbs or upsets the process. Well, I mean, I hate to tell you, but older people are in the business of giving their children October surprises. And you will give somebody an October surprise. I know somebody recently who left his wife of 60 years. He had 12 grandchildren to hook up with a woman he hadn't seen for 45 years. I mean, are you kidding? That's a recipe for suicide. Double suicide. You may know somebody. Do you know anybody old in your family who's done something really wild? You know, you suddenly get a letter on the mantelpiece one day, and it says, "I'm sorry, Paul. I've loved you a lot, but it just didn't do anything for me, and I have to follow my heart. And I'm going to..." And you say, "But why didn't you tell me?" "Because I couldn't. You made it impossible for me to ever be myself." I'm trying to save you therapeutically through this sermon from an October surprise. What's the most obvious October surprise? It's called suicide. There are people right here in this room who have contemplated suicide. There are people whom you know who you never would in a million years have thought would become so sad and so lacking in hope and so destroyed in terms of their life aspirations that they finally came to a place where they could only imagine that it would be better if they took their own lives. This is an October surprise. So thanks for listening. And to sum up, I'm trying to jumpstart your personal reformation to examine how much you're willing to talk to somebody about your real inner agenda. And secondly, I'm saying that's an end of the long-distance runaround in your relationship. And my second point is, and it is a bit of a, I guess it's a prophetic word. If you don't do this, the likelihood of you creating your own October surprise out of the blue is really quite and almost invariably dangerous. So I hope you'll take this with a love and hope and the picture that Jesus said, you know, nothing about you, Zacchaeus, offends me in the least. You could tell me anything, but I am having lunch with you today. Thanks be to God for the Reformation. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast, produced and recorded at the Parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. If you feel led to support the continuing ministry of the parish, you can make an online donation at calvarystgeorges.org/giving. Thank you.